Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. It's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Kevin, you know how I'm going to use my time.
Yes.
I'm going to use my time by promoting something that's very important to 105.3 The Fan and you. It's
can,
a prize.
Can I help?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I help promote?
Here's all I'm asking is during this hour every day, make sure to listen.
Okay. That's a great point because if you listen at least an hour, you can get a daily entry into the fan contest, which we're going to do. Essentially, it's in a national contest. It's a slam dunk prize for you and three of your friends or perhaps enemies if you prefer. The four of you get to fly to Vegas. Your flight and hotel are paid for. They're going to give you each $5,000 cash, which adds up to what, Corey?
$20,000.
Exactly. And I would make the argument that if you're inviting your friends, you should get to keep all the cash. But I will let you decide that amongst
divvy
you,
it up however you
and
want.
Your friends. Yeah. So all you got to do, and you probably already do it, is from now until February 23rd, download the Odyssey app, listen to us for at least an hour, and you'll be entered automatically. And you could do it every single day. And if you already do that, just make sure you get in at least an hour. It's part of the Odyssey National Contest, and you got a chance to go to Vegas.
All right, I'm gonna get to Chris Jones from an offensive lineman's perspective in just a moment. This audio is fantastic, so stick around for it. I did one of those. I saw this over the weekend. And my father-in-law messaged me and was like, have you seen this story? And I was like, yeah, I've seen the Paul Skeens story. I've already
sure.
seen this. I know. And he goes, the part of the kid's journal just made me think of Carter, my son Carter. And I wanted to read some of this journal entry, if you guys are cool with that.
Go for it.
He said it was November 13th, 2024. Lots of other words. I started begging my mom for a box at Christmas. Since they are, since those boxes were expensive, and since they are awesome, they got the box. So that's what, since my parents are awesome, they got the box. They told me when I got home from school, and I was so excited. Fast forward to Christmas. First, I woke up 4 a.m., woke my little brother up. Oops. We waited till 6:30 a.m. and woke our parents up. 6:30 is too early to wake up for Christmas presents.
I feel like kids. 7 is
seven. You need
cut
to
off.
Mark it right there.
Yeah.
Now where my kids are, yeah. It needs to be like 8. Ish. So, woke our parents up. First present we opened was the hobby box. Mm. I opened two more packs, and then I got the second pack. I got the Paul Skeens redemption card. Me and my brother and my dad were like, OMG. My mom was very excited, but she didn't have a clue what she was talking about. Then my brain pooped, and I started bouncing all over the place. I just thought it was a really funny like journal entry from this kid, and kids keep journals, so that's cool.
So he got the card on Christmas Day, but we didn't find out till a week ago.
Apparently, is that right? Apparently, so they were able
for almost a month to keep it quiet.
Yeah, which I think allowed, because people were like, "How did you get the card graded that quickly?" Supposedly, Topps like flew the card back up to them and everything. But I think a more logical explanation is they've kept this fairly under wraps for a month and gone through the process.
How many people are frustrated? It is what it is.
Yeah.
That they bought that box has gone way down in price.
Yeah.
That they were paying over $500 a box and the skeins had already been found.
That's a good question. I really have no idea. And I know he turned down the Pirates offer. I saw somebody say earlier,
take the Pirates offer unless you lived in Pittsburgh.
You said that at first I was like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then just I was like, oh, yeah.
The Rangers did that for the Wyatt Langford or Evan Carter card. Well, for us, that's an option. If you open it up in California, like this kid's like, there's no option for me going to Ranger games for 30 years.
Yeah. So you would want the one time event with Livy Dunn.
And I know
her suite
that he's going to put it up for auction. I saw somebody speculate that he was going to donate all the money to charity. And if that's the case, like, rock on. I feel like you should keep some of that for college and stuff.
Charity?
Yeah, you could give it all to charity. Wouldn't you want to keep something for yourself because you pulled like an unfreaking believable card?
I'm just keeping the card.
Man, you sound selfish right now.
Yeah, I'm just keeping the card, actually.
Oh, okay. You're just not going to sell it.
I'm going to look at it forever.
It's like the most desired card out on the market right now.
And I have it. I'm going to
ask you a stupid question.
Okay.
I go to every card show with it.
You hate Aaron Judge.
Uh huh.
Because he plays for the Yankees.
Yeah. Throw it right in the trash.
Yeah. You pull that card. What if you on, like, literally, you got on whatever Instagram, TikTok, or something, mm-hmm. and you put a lighter to it and you burn that card and just to show nobody can ever have it. The 101 is done.
No,
I hate the Yankees.
I'm only burning half of it because I'm yeeting it about halfway through.
It keeps burning. You've just added oxygen.
Well,
to
but
the
it's
process.
Gonna it's gonna go out in the
more
air.
More oxygen, I guess. Yeet.
So
for what?
Hate the Yankees
just to show them.
I'm the best Rangers fan you know.
But wouldn't you rather hate the Yankees with $1 million? You can buy me into thinking you're the best Rangers fan I know.
But now what happens is, I have to give Aaron Judge a Yankee credit for all my $1 million. Every time I have to be like, that $1 million is because of Aaron
Judge.
You
will not be forgotten for a long time if you burn the Paul. I know.
See,
I'm saying
that's
Paul Skeens.
True.
How many drinks I'll get at card shows because people will be like, that's the guy.
I'm not
that
sure you're going to get a lot of drinks. Maybe in your face.
Which also is a smaller waste of money.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you ever thrown a drink in someone's face or had someone probably more likely throw a drink in your face?
On your face!
I don't think so.
Okay. Mm. I can just see it happen to Corey more in the bar game.
Yeah, no, that never happened. Recently I went to a restaurant and I got a whole thing of ketchup dropped in my right there on my zipper.
Oh my gosh.
Fell off the french fries. All right. Chris Jones is, you pointed out moments ago, dominant. He is a dominant force in the game, no matter what.
I also like that he dunked on people and he's like, as long as you keep letting us have Spags as our defense coordinator, we're going to keep winning the Super Bowl.
Dude, he doesn't get enough. He's the only coordinator ever to win 4 Super Bowls.
I believe that. I did see that is correct.
Like, he's just
wild.
That good. So I think Chris Jones is right. Former offensive lineman Mitchell Schwartz was, I think he was on with Barstool. I think he was on with their podcast. Let me confirm.
Does he have power?
Yeah.
Power of the Schwartz. Spaceballs. Yeah, I get it.
But he was on Pardon My Take.
I guess.
And they asked him, was he on that? Yeah, Pardon My Take. And they asked him, what makes Chris Jones so special?
I mean, he's been showing up in big moments since the combine. So the thing with Chris is he's so naturally strong. You know, when you're watching film or one of the scouting reports, the reason he wasn't like a clear first rounder, well, he plays high and, you know, he's got to get his pad level down. Turns out you don't have to get your pad level down if you're stronger than the guy across from you. And so what Chris combines is a great natural strength with, really skilled hands and the ability to basically make the offensive lineman wrong. You know, if he beats you with power and that bull rush and that strength, your tendency as an offensive lineman, you want to get your hands on the guy. You want to try to lock him up early. You want to kind of shut down the rush before it gets started. Well, the second you throw your hands at Chris, he swipes them. He beats you around the corner. You do get your hands on him. You know, we call it a Hamilton technique, but basically he grabs your wrist, lifts it up, and converts into power and kind of walks you back to the quarterback. So he has the ability to make you wrong however you want to block him. If you want to be handsy and be jumpy and try to get on him before he gets started, you're going to get swum and you're going to get beat with those Hamilton techniques. And if you want to kind of play patty cake and, you know, back up and kind of shake with him, he'll just run right through you and get to the quarterback either way. So it puts the offensive lineman in a really tough bind. You're not quite sure what technique to use because typically, you know, there's one thing I can try to take away, and if the guy beats me on a second or third best move, okay, I can deal with that. But Chris's two best moves counter the two things you want to do as an offensive lineman. So he really makes life difficult, and unless you've played him, unless you kind of understand, you know, how to block him, I think you have to do that in real time, and obviously that's a pretty difficult task.
I feel like it's very much like Barry Bonds, in that you really only have a very narrow margin to defeat that guy, a very narrow way of it. In most ways, he's going to find a way to beat you. He's going to find a way to force you into something he likes. Barry Bonds did that to Greg Maddux until he was like, not throwing him a fast, I'm not throwing.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Him a strike ever again. And that's what Chris Jones does. He forces you. You're like, you're sitting there thinking, okay, I'm going to do this to him. He's that good. He's that powerful. So that's from an offensive lineman's perspective. If you want to watch... If you want to re-listen to that, it was on Barstool, but if you want to go watch the Super Bowl and kind of watch the techniques that he's running with, you'll understand a little more what he was talking about. But I just wanted to kind of give everybody an idea that that's an offensive lineman that's breaking down. You can do all these things to try and stop him, and he has other moves that are going to help him.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He doesn't get home every time, but what does he do? He forces quarterbacks to think. He forces running backs to go, oh, crap. He wrecks game plans.
Yeah.
And it's been a pleasure to watch him. Like,
he's so good.
It really has been a lot of times people, I understand if they don't like Taylor Swift and Mahomes and Kelce, I get that. Watching Patrick Mahomes is a joy. He runs until he does the flop thing. That's kind of irritating. But when he's running around and doing what Mike says, being slow, but also getting away for 40 yards, it's amazing. When you watch Chris Jones do this, when you watch Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley do these things, we're very lucky to be able to watch some of these great athletes do the things that they're doing right now.
How does Kansas City get so many people in a way so wide open on critical third or fourth Andy down Reed. Plays? And how does Patrick Mahomes, he escapes one guy and then there's literally nobody in that area for 15 yards.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of the way Andy Reid draws it up and knowing what their outs are, you know, knowing that I'm going to have this space because we cleared it because of the way that this was run. A lot of times that's what Patrick Mahomes knows. Just like you as a pitcher, I know if I'm going to miss, I need to miss here.
Right, but there's copying done. The Cowboys never have a play where Dak rolls out.
Yes.
And then if the guy's not wide open that he can run the ball forever, then Dak can just run the ball for 12 yards until somebody becomes close to touching him. That never happens.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's why they have the coordinators that people hold in such high regard.
Because Andy Reid.
That's probably true.
And then lastly, space advertising. I wanted to dive into space advertising real quick. Astronomers are calling on nations to ban advertising in space that can be seen from the ground, calling it the latest threat to the dark and quiet sky. At a briefing during the 245th meeting of the American Astronomical Society earlier this month, the organization rolled out a statement calling for bans on, quote, obtrusive space advertising because of the interference it would cause with ground-based astronomy. Obtrusive space advertising is defined as advertising in outer space that's capable of being recognized by a human being on the surface of Earth without the aid of a telescope or technology. So basically, let's put something on the moon. Let's put it out on the moon. Let's put it up in the sky.
So Mike and I both looked at each other in confusion, and I found a picture that shows, like, you can see the Coca-Cola logo in the sky. I have never heard of this until just now.
Bud Light on the horizon.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. I did not realize that was such a threat.
Astronomers are furious about this because they don't want to look up in the sky and see, you know, Google ads up there and be like, what's going on? This is the quote, Kevin. The lure of it is so great that I can't imagine that no one will try. I think the commercial value will prompt somebody to do it. If you can put ads in the sky, you're winning, man.
How big would you have to make it that it would be seen? Like, let's just take Dallas, Fort Worth.
Yeah, I don't know.
To me, there's no way, but maybe I'm wrong. There's no way that if you're in, let's say, the Dallas area, that if you're in Fort Worth, you would see that, right? It'd be so small and so far away. And if you're living, let's say, out in the country, I call like Glen Rose the country, there's no way you could see what's happening. Like, they have beautiful night skies. You can see all the stars on a clear night and everything. It's really cool. But, like, you can't see a Coca-Cola sign in the sky from Glen Rose that's shining in Dallas.
Hey, look, Mike, I don't have the technology yet. Somebody does, though. Somebody out there is going to come up with it. They're going to make a lot of money.
It's the
next billboard, Kevin.
Yeah.
You might drive into work in the morning and you're just like, I'm looking up in the sky.
Sky's free. Billboards. Will it screw up planes?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Maybe. We're the KNC masterpiece.
If they can fly through clouds, they can definitely fly through light, right? Because clouds weigh tons.
I guess so.
Light's not that heavy,
look,
right?
I'm not the one who said. I was just passing along the information that
how
clouds
much
weigh
does
a lot.
Light
yeah, mean? Lights must weigh a whole bunch up there.
Don't forget,
no
you
weight.
Can see. Well,
just like clouds.
The G-Bang Nation live from the Brass Tap in Rockwall today. If you want to go check them out doing their show. Coming up next, though, all the history and money made during NFL Championship Sunday. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Design run, Hurts, delay, Hurts, and touchdown Eagles.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We talked plenty about Championship Sunday yesterday, but maybe not as much as we normally would have because of the Cowboys introductory press conference with the new head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. And I wanted to run through some more of the history and money that was made during Championship Sunday. Would you all like to start with the Buffalo-Kansas City game or the Washington-Philadelphia game?
Which one started first?
It was Washington and Philadelphia, and we played that clip for a specific reason. Do you know that Jalen Hurts, with 9, now has the most rushing touchdowns in the playoffs of any quarterback in NFL history?
9? 9. Wow.
Maybe they were trying to not set the record by just jumping off sides and being like, fine, give them. Who do you give the touchdown to? You play the fantasy sports thing on the thing?
Underdog. Daily fantasy.
What happens if they're like, touchdown Philadelphia?
Believe it or not, I wouldn't think I would normally have this. I actually have a weird answer when it comes to underdog. They have vulture protection. So if your touchdown gets stolen away from your person, you're protected there. As to who would get the credit?
Yeah.
I have no freaking idea. I never even heard of that rule
in basketball.
Sunday.
If a guy accidentally tips in the ball and you were playing defense, they have to award the points to somebody on the other team. You can't just take 2 points awarded to nobody.
A palpably unfair act.
That's what it's called?
That's what that is called. And Babe Laufenberg
Okay.
Has known this for, it feels like a decade. He told me yesterday.
Did you know about it?
I did not know the name of it.
Okay.
I did not know the name of it, but Babe said that he did ask a long time ago. He's asked some referees about this, and it's a palpable, and he's like, I've been waiting so long for this to happen in the middle of a game and me be able to say that to Brad and be like, I got it. I know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And they got it first. So we're still waiting for it for Babe. So hopefully one day he'll get that opportunity. I'm looking forward to it.
It is crazy to think, even if it's like, you know, a fraction of a yard, that they're like, nah, touchdown. We're just going to go ahead and, like, I would like that with a more egregious pass interference inside the five. They're like, you know what? Touchdown. I'm not even giving you the ball inside the one.
It's more about them just being tired of dealing with it than anything else.
I could see
that. They're just like, we're just sick of this. Stop it.
For Saquon Barkley in this NFC playoffs, he has 66 carries for 442 yards. Here's the most impressive part. 317 yards after contact. So think about it. He's averaging almost 5 yards per carry after first contact. So just sometimes we have debates about offensive line and how your offensive line's doing, how the defensive line is penetrating. This is just to throw out there. If you're an elite back, you can still work off of contact. He has 5 touchdowns, and he has 8 runs of 15 yards or more.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, listen, when he was at Penn State, that's the kind of running back he was. He's just advanced it to the NFL, and he's like, good luck, guys.
Now, he has added a lot of cash just on the end of the season and the awards and his postseason. It's a sweet $250,000 for making the Pro Bowl.
Really?
Another quarter.
He didn't make it, though.
He technically
he's
would.
Not going.
That's true. Another $250,000.
What if you said you're not getting that? You're not
that going. Feels like something the Cowboys would do. $250,000 for making the NFC Championship
game. All you have to do is retire, though, and they'll make sure you get all of your money, even
that
if you don't play.
Is a weird thing that we do that I don't understand either. $500,000 for winning the rushing title. Another $500,000 for being AP All-Pro. And now, if he wins the Super Bowl, get another $250,000. So that's already $1.5 million and another $250,000. Potentially to go.
He was the first ever millionaire.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
I did not either.
I thought there was one more, but that's cool.
I wonder who the first one ever was. Just out of all people.
Yeah, but like, wouldn't it have been like,
I know my comment is that's, I believe, Nolan Ryan or Todd Van Poppel.
Like an Egyptian pharaoh.
Because Todd Van Poppel, I think, got the first $1 million signing
widely
bonus.
Considered to be the first millionaire in the United States.
Okay.
John Jacob Astor. He was a German-born businessman.
What are you shaking your head? You don't know who that is,
who
Mike.
Made his fortune in real estate.
I think he must have changed his name because people wanted his money. Because I think it's John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Wouldn't you just get tired of writing that? Like, if you had to sign things all the time.
Well, probably because it was such a common name. Because his name was my name, too.
That is, I think you've taken the wrong message from that song. Oh. And I hate that I know exactly what you're talking about. This is why we couldn't have bigger careers. Because we have all this stupid knowledge in our brain. Could you have become a lawyer, a doctor, architect? Maybe. But I can still tell you the lyrics to John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Hey, what did he do to get the $1 million?
I lost it. Like, I don't know what just,
lost the $1 million?
No. He was a real estate mogul, furs, and opium export.
Like the cafeteria?
No, I knew you were going to say that. Furs like animal furs. You think they had a furs in the 1800s?
They didn't. All-you-can-eat cafeteria and took out Wyatt's?
The world's first billionaire was Rockefeller. He was the first billionaire.
He is rich.
And the word millionaire was coined in France in 1719 to describe speculators in the Mississippi bubble.
Okay.
No clue with that. I have no clue, but there you go.
I just learned a lot today.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
That should end the show.
Let's go, man.
It's almost over.
Trust me, I think about ending the show all the time. Hey, speaking of the NFC, do you know
longer than 5 minutes
that Jaden Daniels?
Oh yeah, I know he's in the NFC.
Shut up. that Jaden Daniels entered the NFC Championship game just 5 yards passing short of the record for most passing yards by a rookie in the playoffs. Boom! Hit held it straight away. And what did you say?
Held by Dak.
I think it was held by Russell Wilson.
Oh.
Sorry.
I thought Dak went on, they went 13-3 and then they went on a big playoff run.
Hey, they played in a playoff game that year.
That was his best playoff game of his career. So he's gone downhill from there.
So Jaden Daniels now holds that record. Now, give me cut number 5, if you will. Let's move over to the AFC.
Mahomes looking left. Pass caught at the 5-yard line. Angling inside. Leaping forward. Xavier Worthy. Touchdown. Kansas City.
Did you know? This is the first time in football history, and we'll get into this specifically more tomorrow, that a team has made the Super Bowl 5 times in 6 years.
No. I mean, I kind of feel like I knew that, but no.
It's pretty damn
that
impressive.
Is very impressive, dude.
For Patrick Mahomes.
Stop being a Mahomer, Kevin.
I am.
Look.
I don't care.
He's great.
One of the greatest players all time.
Get your guns
ready.
I was telling my wife, I was like, can you believe the greatest quarterback in football history came from Texas Tech and they weren't even that good at football while he
was
there?
Did they ever win a bowl game while he was there?
No, they forgot to. The defensive players stayed in Lubbock and they're like, you need to score 762 points today to win.
So the two greatest could be a backup from Michigan and the quarterback at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're scouting quarterbacks, just be like, hell, I don't know.
Yeah.
They should have been picking those Hawaii quarterbacks every year that were putting up eye popping stats and they're like, system quarterback. You don't know.
That's why Jerry's like, hey, it's like being an old 49er out there just picking for gold. The next pick could be the one.
Yeah. I get it.
You'll find the right one.
Talking about how great Mahomes is already. He's 28?
Whatever you say, I'll believe.
Okay, ish. To protect me there. By winning the AFC Championship game, Patrick Mahomes broke...
way off.
What is he?
29.
Okay. I feel like that covers the ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, let me ask you this real quick, and I hate myself for asking this. How much room does ish cover when you're talking about an age?
2 years.
Yeah, two years either side.
Either side?
Yeah, okay. So if you said they were 30 and they're 33, you're not ish-ish.
Okay, good point.
You've ished away.
So since Mahomes won the AFC Championship game, he broke a tie with Joe Montana for the second most wins in playoff history by a quarterback. He, of course, trails Tom Brady. But yes, at the tender age of 29, he now has the second most wins in the history of the NFL playoffs for quarterbacks.
Dude's insane. I mean, like, and again, the pairing with Andy Reid, those two together, because he couldn't do it without the defense. Tech proved that. the defense has helped, but he's made so many plays and been in so many clutch situations that he's come through for him.
He didn't even make the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, he wasn't good this year.
Yes.
He wasn't good this year.
He lost a game.
I am going to argue against that. I think he was really good in the second half of the year. First half, fair point.
So he's played overall, in 18 games and he lost one.
That's true.
Overall, then he wasn't good.
I mean, I think that if Dak would have been the quarterback of the Chiefs, they would have been to 5 Super Bowls already.
Feel fairly
I'll disagree
confident.
With that.
And you don't?
If Dak would have been, I said, yeah. I will disagree with that.
No, okay. I thought you said, I don't disagree with that.
No, I will disagree with that.
I think if Dak would have been drafted in 2016 by Kansas City, they would have the same fate that they have now.
Disagree.
I think he might. That'd be very interesting to see how
you
him
put
and,
together that
him
research
and Andy
tomorrow.
Reid would work together.
Let me know how that goes. All right. You asked earlier, how did the Chiefs always figure out kind of like both offensively and defensively the right play? Here's a great example of why. Patrick Mahomes dislocated his knee on a quarterback sneak in 2019.
I remember.
So in the 5 years since then, they're like, let's not do that anymore. They have had 3 designed runs for him since then. 4th and 2, when they were trailing in overtime of the Super Bowl. 4th and 1... in the game on Sunday, and then the touchdown he ran in on Sunday. That the second one. That is.
But didn't he have an option to pitch that ball if he needed to?
That might have been, but I think they designed it.
So it's a design where he is running the ball, but if the defense collapses to him, he has an option.
So it is a run pass option, but technically it is designed as a run. 3 times, and 2 of them were on Sunday. When clearly Buffalo was not ready for. They're like, what?
Yeah.
yeah. as they shouldn't have.
How about
been.
Tony Romo letting them know, which is fine. The game's on, like, too late, Buffalo. But they're like, yeah, Josh Allen never sneaks under center. He always moves usually to the,
right
to the left.
Or left.
I thought
yeah.
it was to the left.
Well, he,
right?
It was the left. And, yeah. and he said that the Chiefs had discussed that. He was saying the Chiefs, Jim Nance had said the Chiefs were ready for this. They said he goes to the left all the time, and then he continued to do it.
A couple more quick notes for you outside of football. Did you see that Jimmy Butler got suspended a third time, this yeah. time for allegedly walking out of practice? And then
I guess their asking price has been like kind of first round picks and a prospect or two, and they're finally, because we're getting closer and closer yeah. to the deadline.
It's a
they're
week
like,
from Thursday.
They're like, oh, we might back off of that one if you want.
Especially because this is the third time they've suspended him. In those negotiations, I'd be like, great, keep him. See ya.
You just keep him.
It sounded like the teams that are still interested are Memphis and Milwaukee.
Milwaukee,
Phoenix
would be
is out.
Interested because they okay, really?
Bradley Beal has a full no trade clause.
He doesn't want to do that.
And I guess he's turned down Chicago. They were going to get Zach LaVine.
Who, by the way, Zach LaVine is awesome this year.
Yeah, but because Bradley Beal is like, I have a full no trade clause. I'm not going to Chicago.
And then
and I don't think, I don't know if I didn't see this, if Miami didn't want him. Or he's denied going to Miami, but Bradley Beal can stop everything Phoenix wants to do.
And then the last thing I have for you, we didn't mention this yesterday. Did you see what the Utah Hockey Club is trying to change its name to?
The Stocktons.
Incorrect.
The Malones. The Ostertags.
Hey, let's just say you got it right and give Corey a shot.
I went, you can do three because I did three.
The Mormons.
The Utah Yeti.
Oh, good. Great. That's exactly what I wanted it to be.
Not Yeetis.
Yeah, that's where the Yeti is.
Now, they've run into a problem.
Oh, yet they want to use the logo.
The United States Patent Office refused their attempt to patent this name out of likelihood of confusion with other notable brands using the name, such as Yeti Coolers.
That stinks.
Can't you pay them? Like, back in the day, Hulk Hogan had to give money to Marvel for using the term, the word Hulk.
Oh, really?
As his first name. Can't you figure out a deal? I don't think people are going to go, dang it, I meant to get a cooler and I bought hockey tickets.
Yeah.
This is stupid. And I know they'd say no. Why not just try to team up and say, we want to be the Jazz? It's a stupid name in our state, but it works for our basketball team. Let's just all be the Jazz.
I don't know.
I don't know why I typed in Yeti Arena, but like that's what I would do.
Where
I
are
would,
they? Where's the Yeti Arena?
There's not one.
Oh, Yeti's.
But I would immediately, I would say, hey, Yeti, let's team up on this together. Mm-hmm. Can we use your name?
Mm-hmm.
And also we'll give you a share of advertising for the arena or whatever.
They could be the Utah Trouts. That's where Mike Trout played AAA baseball.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of white people yell at you when you play against the Salt Lake Bumblebees.
The Utah
or whatever
Miracle
are.
On Ices.
I think they're the bees. The bees' knees.
Do you know you're still talking?
Yeah, we should have gone to break 2 minutes ago, Kevin.
Where the KNC? Is it? We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, shut up. Let's talk with the G-Bag Nation live from the Brass Tap in Rockwall.
To Valanciunas starts the third quarter, turned it over. Mavericks one, Tower of Power finish by Daniel Gafford with a foul.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where the Wizards are defeated by the Mavericks 130-108, and a game was not even that close. Right now, let's turn our attention, courtesy of D&M Leasing, to the Brass Tap and the G-Bang Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today, and can you remind everybody, where is you?
We are in Rockwall. It's pretty close there. It's that first stop when you get on the other side of the bridge, when you're looking out over the lake and all that. And yeah, Brass Tap here today, where I just had one of the best shrimp baskets of my life.
Ooh. Now, Eric, I do believe it is your birthday, is it not?
It is. Yes, Hagee. Thank you.
All right, Eric, I'm going to give you this option for your birthday. Would you like Mike Bacsik to ask you a question? Because he has a really dumb question that he wants to ask you guys.
Yeah, I'm totally here for that. That'd be a great that would be a birthday wish come true.
So we were finding out some information, Eric, on millionaires. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met a person named John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
Not personally, no, but I've heard of his legend.
Because there's a lot of people named that, and John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt changed his last three names to like Asher, I believe.
He was not the first millionaire in America.
That's what Corey said. Corey's in the bathroom right now. He had a major emergency with his gut.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I went in there and checked on him. He said he's doing all right, but he's still in there.
Grab his pants again?
Almost. And remember, he doesn't wear underwear.
It's literally his pants every time.
Yeah.
So have you ever heard the song John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. His name is my name, too.
Yeah, what happens now?
Whenever I go out, the people always shout, they say, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Da 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 da. John Jacob.
This is why we need to do that giveaway contest. This stuff right here. All right.
What makes that a church song? Didn't we do that in church a lot? Was that a Sunday school deal? Or was that an elementary school deal?
I think it was like a Barney thing.
Yeah. I think that's where I was turning.
So the immediate answers we got were it was from church, it was a Jewish thing, and I think it was Barney. Those are the three options we've got.
That's what Moses was singing when he was walking out of Egypt.
Noah's like, get on the ark, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, da 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 da.
All right. I don't know how we recover from this. So I'm going to try this. Hey.
Somebody needs to check on Corey.
Yeah, I did earlier.
Mike did, except he did it with this evil grin and ran over there, and it sounded like he yelled at Corey when he was in the bathroom.
Mike, you should cut the lights out. You should also do some like wet paper towel grenades. You know, let's get some of that going there.
What, you just throw them over the stall and it hits them?
Yeah, yeah. You just get a bunch of paper towels, you ball them up, you get them a little bit wet, and then you lob them
with the lights off
into the stall.
He'll know it's me.
What do you care?
He's listening right now. He's listening.
Why me?
On the potty. We have the radio station on the potty.
No, he likes to listen to La Grande.
Yeah, you know that.
Oh, yeah, La Grande.
Stop it. Don't say anything else, Mike. All right.
Dropping La Grande.
Do you think it matters which team wears white in the Super Bowl? Because Philly had the option.
You have a stomachache.
They declined. Jesus. They declined to wear white, and that means the Chiefs are going to wear white, and people are like, 37 of the 58 Super Bowl winners have won the white jersey. Do you think it actually matters if you wear the white jersey?
I'm not sure, but I'm not going to rule out there's something to it, so there's no way in hell I would turn down the chance to play white in that scenario.
Cowboys have always worn white in their 8 Super Bowls?
The Cowboys?
Yeah. Are they?
No, against the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl 4?
5.
Five, they wore blue.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when Jim O'Brien kicked the game-winning field goal.
Yeah, things got freaky.
And then Bob Lilly threw a helmet further than any human being ever.
He sure did.
Yes, he did.
Sure did.
What do you guys think? I know we all kind of thought this might have been a done deal yesterday, but you get the official news. Matt Eberflus.
Let's go!
Will be the defensive coordinator. It feels like when he left here, people were sad to see him go. I know he comes back here as a head coach who had some struggles, especially with the clock. How are you guys feeling about this hire?
I mean, I'm optimistic about it. I think he's a good coordinator, but for a coaching staff and an organization that talks about continuity a lot, I thought they had a good thing going with Mike Zimmer. So I don't know why we should be here. You know, I think the smart thing to do, in retrospect, looking back at the last 2 weeks, was to do what Brian suggested at midseason, let Schottenheimer call plays. And if you had just started with that, then you get all the good that McCarthy brings and you elevate Schottenheimer and you don't have, you know, a defense trying to learn a new coordinator here for the third year in a row. Yeah, I prefer Zimmer. I mean, I think Eberflus is it's solid. His defenses are sound. But they're not necessarily exotic or overtly creative or aggressive, and so I would sort of prefer that. And I think Zimmer brought a little bit more of that to the table. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding for the most part. Like it's going to be a solid defense. I just don't think it's a wow hire by any stretch.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of guys that they're probably going to draft this year on defense. So new coordinator, new defense, the veteran guys like Micah Parsons, that's always going to be the challenge. Can you get Micah Parsons, you know, how do you free him up? Boy, it'd be really nice to have Overshown here and have him be a part of all this too. But they're going to have a lot of new players on that defense because I don't expect Osa to be back. I don't expect Golston to be back. I don't expect Jordan Lewis to be back, to be honest with you. We'll see how that all plays. So, new coordinator, new defense. It's not like you're teaching 11 guys a brand new defense. They're new guys, new defense.
Which reminds me, to Washington. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Well, I can guarantee you it won't be a Cowboy.
Yeah. It's good Cowboys free agent prediction, Mike.
Thanks.
What do you guys got coming up on the program, and where can people find you today?
Pure Gold, as always, Heggy, thanks for asking. Just come out 30 and go over the water, and then bang. You know, you take that first right, you drop down into where all these glorious restaurants and hangouts are. And we are at the Brass Tap here today with our friends from Stella Artois. Stink joins us at 4:40. Mark Schlereth talking football.
All right, roll home with the G-Bag Nation or go see them in Rockwall at the Brass Tap. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Hey, you're back.